Great music, good word already this morning. So, but I'm excited to be able to share with you this morning. I always appreciate the opportunity that I get when pastor's out of town to do that, and I'm very appreciative of it. So, I want to share with you this morning a few things, but really all centered around grace. That is a topic here that we cover a lot, which is it is really the core principle in the Word. It is why God sent Jesus to earth. His grace is what sent Jesus here to us. And it's one of those topics, like the Word itself, that there's always more for us to learn. There's always another layer. There's always a new understanding of what that grace means for me in my life and how that impacts me. So this morning, what I wanted to spend some time on was what grace, some of the things grace provides to us, some of the things that we have access to because of grace, in addition to salvation. That is the main point of grace. That is what was accomplished through God's grace to us, was sending Jesus and the salvation that we now have because of that. But I want to spend some time today about some of those things in addition to that salvation that we see in grace. But starting with grace itself, that word, charis, in the Greek, that's translated grace often. In other parts of the Bible, it's translated as favor as well. So we can see that grace or that favor that God has for us. If you look in the Amplified Bible, it'll say grace is the unmerited favor of God, which is usually, if somebody in church says, what is grace? That's usually the answer you get. It's God's unmerited favor towards us, which it absolutely is. But what does that mean, God's unmerited favor towards us? How does that impact our lives? Well, I saw a definition as I was studying for this, and it said that that grace is God's merciful kindness towards us, exerting his influence on us, turning us to Christ, and increasing us in faith. That grace is God's merciful kindness towards us, and increasing our faith. What I thought was a really good definition. I like to think of grace in this way. And actually, Natalia touched on almost exactly this in her story this morning. But I like to think of grace, that grace is accessing through our faith in Christ, not what we deserve, but what Christ has provided. That it's grace that gives us access through faith in Christ to what he has provided, not what we deserve, just like the story Natalia shared this morning. And that, I believe, is the heart of grace, what it means and how it impacts our lives. So on that note, grace is strength for us. That is one of the things God has provided to us through grace, is strength. So in 2 Corinthians 12:9, we'll start there this morning, 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says, each time he said, my grace is all you need, which right there is really powerful. My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That is grace providing strength for us. The access, again, through Christ to receive not what we deserve, but what he has provided is all we need, was what this verse is saying. What I shared last week about my personal life and my career, I think is a really good analogy of this. I was at a place 3 years ago where the company I'd been at wasn't able to employ me at the level they had previously, so I had to go out and get a different job. And it was so discouraging to get a job, to accept a job, and to go work for a job, knowing that the salary for that job was not enough to cover what we needed. That I was going to go into work every day, work 40 hours a week plus, and that it still wasn't going to be enough to cover our needs. It was so discouraging. But at the same time, to then go into that job and to have God's favor on my life to such an extent that by the end of that year, the commission that I had earned almost equaled my salary. I almost doubled my pay because of the amount of commission that I was able to earn. And that was all God. It was all God. So seeing in that place in my life, that point of weakness where I needed a job, the job that I was able to get was not enough for what we needed. That was a point of absolute weakness in my life. But just like this verse says, I can boast in that weakness now that God was there for me and that his strength, his power is best at work in a place like that where I am unable to do it on my own. I think that's what this verse is saying when it says his power works best in weakness. I think what that means is when we're at a place where we realize we can't do it on our own, that he is there to supply that need. And I shared with you guys last week that since that point, not only was that job, that entry-level position enough to provide our needs, but in the last year, I've received two separate promotions there, which is just an awesome, awesome thing. So in my point of weakness, God was there, and his power showed up, just like this verse is talking about. Grace is strength for us because it empowers us. Whether that's empowering us to share the gospel, empowering us to be successful at work, empowering us to have successful relationships. Grace is strength for us because it empowers us. Philippians 4:13 talks about that. Want to go to that verse next, Philippians 4:13. It says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I thought this verse was so cool to explain that point. Two pieces. I am equal to anything through him. There is nothing that can come up in this life that you aren't the equal of. Not because of you, but because of Christ. Any situation that you face, Christ makes you an equal for it. You can stand toe-to-toe with any situation in your life because God is on the inside of you. In fact, you are self-sufficient. You have within you everything that you need. You are self-sufficient. You don't rely on anybody else. You don't rely on an employer. You don't rely on the government. You don't rely on a spouse to complete you. You are self-sufficient. And like this verse says, in his sufficiency. No, you're not. In and of yourself, I'm not self-sufficient. But in Christ, we are. We are self-sufficient in his sufficiency. We are a whole person. Pastor likes to use the analogy that two half people don't make a whole, right? And that's so true. Two whole people make a whole. In a relationship, you need to be whole. You need to be self-sufficient in his sufficiency and bring a whole person into that relationship to have a successful relationship. And that's what God, through Christ, through his grace, is able to empower us with. Hebrews 13:9. Very much along the same lines. Do not be carried away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be established and strengthened by grace. That is what establishes and strengthens, establishes, gives a foundation to. Grace gives us that. What Christ has provided for us is that foundation for us and is that strength for us. So every day, and in every situation that we face, we can choose to draw on that strength that grace provides to us. Every situation, like that verse earlier said, you are the equal of. But you can choose not to be, right? We've all had situations in our life that defeated us, I think. So in that moment, we chose not to draw on that strength that is provided in grace. So grace is strength for you. But grace is also provision. Kind of tying in with what I shared a moment ago. But God's plan and desire for your finances is all throughout the Word. But I think sometimes in church, and as a believer, as we learn about being unselfish, as we learn about being humble, as we learn about being a servant, as we learn about being a blessing to others and not looking to come out on top, but to looking to be a blessing to others, financial things, I think, can seem to be at odds with that at times, where believing for something financial can seem... it might feel odd to believe for something that's so material and that can be so selfish seeming, to believe for finances, to believe for an abundance for yourself, can have a very selfish feel to it. And I think sometimes that can be a difficult thing for people to reconcile with the rest of the Word. But 2 Corinthians 9:8, I think, really exposes where that difference, how those are reconciled. And I love this verse. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you that you always having all sufficiency in all things, all sufficiency in all things, so that's health, that's finances, that's relationships, having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. So this every good work, though, is what I wanted to look at with you. So let's actually go over to the New Living Translation of the same verse. And it says, and God will generously provide all you need. Again, all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. That's how they're reconciled. That's how it all comes together in one piece. When Jesus died, he didn't die just for the Jews. When Jesus fed, he didn't just feed his disciples with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. He fed everybody that was there. He didn't go about doing good and healing some. His plan isn't small. It's not exclusive. His plan is to reach as many as will hear the truth of the gospel. Jesus died for the entire earth. And in the same way, what this verse is telling us is that God does want you to have enough for your needs, but he actually also does want you to have more than enough. And the reason he wants you to have more than enough, one of the reasons he wants you to have more than enough, is so that you have enough to share with others, so they have plenty left over to share. So it's not selfish to believe for abundance in your finances. If anything, it's actually selfish not to believe for an abundance. Because if you don't have an abundance in your finances, if I don't have an abundance in my finances, how can we possibly share with somebody else? How can we possibly bless somebody else? So if that's ever been a difficult thing for you to believe for finances, if it feels too material, if it feels too selfish, remember this verse and go back to this verse and remember that God wants you to be blessed. But like Pastor says, it's okay to have things as long as things don't have you. What about when God tells you to give it away? What about when God says, okay, that's bread, but that's seed. I need you to give that away. I need you to bless somebody with that. If we're able to do that, then that is the fulfillment of God's plan for you and for your finances, that you have an abundance in everything, that you are secure knowing that you have enough for your needs, but there's enough beyond that that you can easily share and that you can easily give, that you can support the Mustard Seed Ministry, that you can support Guatemala, that you can see somebody in the grocery store and help them out, that you can see a need and be able to fill it. I think it's few people see a need and don't want to do something, but most people in many cases don't because they don't feel they're able to. So how awesome to be able to fill every need that we see, that we feel led to be able to give and to bless and to help. That is God's will for your finances and an abundance for you. One of my favorite verses about finances is in Deuteronomy. It's Deuteronomy 8:18. I really, really like this verse. It says, but you shall earnestly remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. Why does God care about you having power to get wealth? Well, it's the verse we just talked about. God wants us to lead successful lives. One of the things I'm absolutely convinced about as a believer is that our lives are supposed to be attractive. I've said this before, but I honestly, truly, 100% believe that our lives are supposed to be attractive to the world. If we're sick, if we're so far in debt that we can't see the end of it, if we don't have relationships that are good and stable, how attractive is that to somebody else? That looks just like their life probably. We're supposed to be different than that. We're supposed to be in the world but not of it. So we're supposed to be healthy. We're supposed to be happy, whether it's Monday or Friday. We're supposed to be able to be a blessing to the people that are around us. And that's what this verse is talking about. He gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. I didn't do it, but at some point I would really love to study this out and understand what the connection is between him giving you power to get wealth and establishing his covenant with us. I think it's really interesting that this verse actually ties those two together, that somehow the covenant, Jesus, the promise, that covenant with us is also somehow tied to us having power to get wealth, which I think is a really, really powerful thing that I'd love to study out sometime, but I'll just share that with you for this morning. He establishes his covenant, which he swore to his fathers as it is even this day. That's what Christ has done for us, the power to get wealth. Our actions are empowered by grace and through Christ. And on that note, grace is power for us. In addition to being attractive, our lives being attractive, we have to be bold enough to be able to share
what Christ has done for us. I do believe that people will see us and just be attracted to that. I think a lot of believers have had an experience where somebody says to them, you know, you just seem to act a little bit different. You just seem to be a little bit different. What is that? And that's an awesome thing that we can just attract people like that. But in addition to that, the Bible's pretty clear that we're supposed to go and to speak and to preach and to teach and to tell the world, that we're supposed to be bold and to share the truth of the gospel. And whether that's a testimony of God's goodness in our own life or what he came to do on earth. So in 1 Corinthians 15:10, no, I'm sorry, let's go to Acts 14:3. And it says, "But the apostles stayed there a long time, preaching boldly about the grace of the Lord. And the Lord proved their message was true by giving them power to do miraculous signs." This verse has a lot in it, but a couple of things that I want to pull out was that they preached boldly about the grace. They were secure in what Christ had done for them, and they were able to speak boldly about that grace that they had seen and that Jesus had come to teach them about. But in addition to that, God shows up. When we're doing his work, he's always there. God is always with us and always a part of us, but one thing he always does is he backs up his word, right? There's a verse that says his word cannot return to him void, that there is power in his word. And this version, I think it's pretty neat that it actually translates it, that the Lord proved their message was true. So the Lord felt that he would prove his message was true by these signs and miracles that they were seeing. And I think in our own life, we see signs and miracles at all times, whether it's something with our finances, with the, I'm sure others have had this experience where you just feel like you're not supposed to go quite yet. And when you're on the road, 30 seconds later, there was an accident in front of you that you just barely missed. I think we've all had experiences like that where there is the miraculous, there is the supernatural in our lives as believers at all times. Even just silly things like, at work, I talk with a lot of people internally and externally to our business, and this time of year I tell a lot of people Merry Christmas because it's Christmas. That's the date on, that's what it says, all right? It's Christmas. So I'm not shy at all to say Merry Christmas, but I will tell you there were a couple times where I was typing an email and I said Merry Christmas and I just had a little check. I said, nope, delete, 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 and I didn't say Merry Christmas because in that email, for whatever reason, I felt like the Lord was saying not in that one. We are led in our lives every day if we allow God to. And that is the supernatural showing up in our lives. So God is proving his message all throughout the day, every day in your lives with the miracles, the signs, the wonders that we see. God is proving his message to be true all throughout the day in your life. And I think that's a really, really cool thing. So grace gave them the power to speak boldly, and God's power was in evidence with signs and wonders. And if you ever are in a situation where you feel like you're supposed to pray for somebody, if you feel like you're supposed to share something with somebody, know that just like this verse, God wants to prove his message to be true. So when you open your mouth to speak, you're going to have words to say. When you pray for them, they're going to see results because just like this verse says, he wants to prove his message to that person. He proves it to us every day, and he wants to prove it to that person that you're sharing with that doesn't know the truth of his gospel. So step out with boldness and be willing to do it. I can't remember the exact way the verse is phrased, but there's a verse in the Bible that talks about being in front of kings and having the words to say, to have the defense that's needed at the time. God will fill your mouth, so to speak, with the words that you need in that time if you're willing to step out and to just share. And people don't expect a perfectly crafted explanation of something anyway. Your willingness to share the heart of what you're saying is more important. I'm sure we've all seen those statistics, 80% of communication is body language or whatever, however that works out, nonverbal. Just being willing to share, being willing to open your heart and share something that you believe is meaningful to somebody else has an impact on that person, regardless of what you say. But God will give you those words to say. But doing it out of a heart of caring and loving means as much as what we're actually saying. So grace is power for us to speak boldly. And grace empowers our efforts. So if you'll go with me to 1 Corinthians 15:10. That's 1 Corinthians 15:10. Grace empowers our efforts. I know I keep saying this, but I love this verse. But whatever I am now, It is all because God poured out his special favor on me, not without results, for I have worked harder than any of the other apostles. Yet it was not I, but God, who is working through me by his grace. And if you'll go back to the first part of that verse, but whatever I am now, all because God poured out his special favor on me, and not without results, for I have worked harder than any of the other apostles. What I really liked about this verse is it talks about, Paul here is saying that it wasn't my effort. It was God. It was his favor on me. It was him empowering my efforts. But at the same point, he did say that he put in a lot of effort. He did. And what I see in this verse is that God will bless the work of our hand. It is not our ability that decides the results, but he does ask us to put our hand to it. The way I try to live this out in my own life is I try to work like success was solely contingent on my effort. But I believe and trust in God as if my effort has nothing to do with it. See, so I try to put out the effort as if that was all it was relying on. But at the same point, I try to put all my trust as if my effort has absolutely no result on the outcome. And I think in that way, we're fulfilling what this verse is talking about. He said he worked harder than all the other apostles, but at the same point, he throws all of the credit to God. And I think that's how we're supposed to lead our lives. I think that's how we're supposed to work at our job. I think that's how we're supposed to approach ministry. I think that's how we're supposed to approach each other, that we put in the effort, absolutely, but that we don't expect our effort to be what decides the outcome, that we know that in the end, it's always God and his ability. Any natural ability you have was given by God anyway. Any ability beyond that that we receive is all from God. So I try to act that out in that way. A way you hear that said a lot of times in church, and a way that pastor has phrased that sometimes, is him putting his super on our natural. And I think that is what we're seeing in this verse, that put your natural out there, but expect God's super to come on top of that. And that is grace empowering our efforts every day. So grace teaches us, in addition to that, to deny ungodliness. And I want to spend a little bit of time on this today, something that Pastor teaches on a lot, and I think it's a really, really important part of understanding what grace means to us. So Titus 2, verse 11 and 12, grace teaches us to deny ungodliness. It says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in the present age." So I think this is one of those things in the church where it often gets misunderstood, misinterpreted. I know myself, one of the churches, I grew up in two different churches, but one of the churches that I grew up in, there was a lot of emphasis on a kind of holiness that was somehow self-generated, in a sense. But this verse is talking about denying ungodliness, and it says that his grace teaches us to deny ungodliness. And that's really what I wanted to focus on, because I think a lot of times what we get an impression of is more that that we deny ungodliness and then we see Christ at work in our life, right? That it's a result of our effort, that deny ungodliness, live the way you're supposed to live, lead a righteous life, and then God will start to take notice of you, and then you'll start to see some things happen in your life. And that's actually really the opposite of what this verse is saying. It says that grace teaches us to deny ungodliness. So we have to actually come to him first as we are, and at that time, then we can begin to learn, and that grace can teach us. Teaching is to learn over time, right? Usually we're learning whatever that is over time. So we come as we are, and grace teaches us to deny ungodliness. So I think that's the journey that we're all on until the end, that we're constantly on a journey of learning to deny ungodliness, that we're learning God's favor for our lives, that we're learning what his plan is for us, and that we're seeing that in our life evidenced over time. And that it's not in an instant we're suddenly different, that we suddenly act right, that we're suddenly perfect somehow, but that it is a gradual process. And I can tell you in my own life, this understanding had a really big impact on the way that I approached every day, even the kind of peace that I'm able to experience in my own mind, trying to do it out of effort, if you really think about it, that can almost never be far from your mind. How am I acting at this exact instant? If you believe that you're standing with God and all the blessings and all the promises in his word are contingent upon us leading a life that allows him to bless us, that has to almost constantly be on your mind. How did I act? How did I speak? What was my tone like with that person? I mean, it's pretty easy to not do something exactly right, right? I mean, it's pretty easy. So if we're having to lead that life before we approach God, it's a constant thing that's on our shoulders. And I can tell you, there was a real break point for me in understanding this that totally changed the way I approached my life. And I believe that today, I know that today, I lead more of the life that I intended to live then without constant effort than I did when it was a constant part of my life about how I tried to act and how I tried to be and what I tried to do. When that was a large part of my focus, it was more difficult to act the way that I wanted to than it is just understanding his grace and allowing that to be a teacher and to just live my life influenced by the Lord. And we begin to lead that life we intended to all along. Many of you and all of you have had that same experience to just live in that grace and the freedom that comes with that and the freedom even mentally that that brings into our lives and the openness that that gives us to approach life in a totally different way with freedom, knowing that God is our partner in this life and that he's not our judge in this life. And I think that was, for me, the way I looked at it was he was always kind of watching, checking off, yes, no, good, bad, instead of being my partner in this as we walk through, and somebody that is strengthening me, encouraging me. And that's what I wanted to share with you this morning, these different things of grace, that what grace is for you, that it's strength, that it's boldness, that it empowers you, that it's provision. I want to pull out some of these things that grace is in addition to that salvation. Salvation, in the sense that we think about it a lot of times in church, is after this life. So what about this life? What about right now? That's the abundant life. And that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. We'll go to Romans 4:16. I'll end with this verse, Romans 4:16. And it says, therefore, inheriting the promise depends entirely on faith. So if we're talking about all these promises that we've just looked at this morning, all these things that grace is to us, how do we see that in our lives? And I think probably all of us see some of those things to different extents in our lives. So how do we see all of those things evident in our life every day? Well, right here, this verse in the Amplified, it says, therefore, inheriting the promise depends entirely on faith. Entirely on faith. Not about how you live, not about what you said, not if you prayed long enough or thought hard enough or ministered for 2 hours. It's dependent entirely on faith. That is confident trust in the unseen God in order that it may be given as an act of grace. Grace, his unmerited favor and mercy, so that the promise will be legally guaranteed to all the descendants of Abraham, not only for those Jewish believers who keep the law, but also for those Gentile believers. That's us. This verse is saying that this applies to us. And the two things that I really wanted to pull out of this verse was in the beginning there, where it says that it's receiving his promise is entirely dependent on our faith. But the other thing that really stood out to me in this verse was that the promise will be legally guaranteed to all the descendants of Abraham. And then it says not only Jewish believers, but also the Gentiles. So this verse is telling you as a believer that these promises are not only things that are accessible to you through faith, but they're actually your legal right as a believer. The promises that exist all throughout the Word, the ones that we looked at today and the thousands of other ones that are in there, as you're reading the Word and you see a promise that applies to you, you can see that promise and say, I am legally guaranteed this promise because of what Christ has done for me on the cross. God's promise to us is salvation, it's an abundant life, and it is all these things that we look at legally guaranteed to us, dependent entirely on faith and our trust in God. And I think if we can really get an understanding of that, because a lot of times we hope for things. Even a promise that we see in the Word, we hope for it. We say, you know, well, that would be great. We see, you know, something about our finances or something about health, something about speaking boldly, something about the signs that are supposed to follow us as believers. We see these different promises that are in the Word, and a lot of times I do think that we hope for them. We say, I would love to see that at some point in our life. But if we can look at this verse, again, that's Romans 4:16. If you want to write it down, Romans 4:16, and this translation is the Amplified Version. And I think it's really, really cool how it says that we are legally guaranteed that. And if we can get a real understanding of that, where we don't hope for it, but we actually expect it. And we know that our way of accessing through that, as the beginning of the verse said, is entirely through faith. How does faith come? By hearing. We all know this, right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes, to summarize that, faith comes by hearing the Word of God, right? So it's entirely dependent on faith. So what should we be doing every day? We should be hearing the Word of God to access that faith, to build that faith within us. And once we have that faith, it is entirely dependent upon that to accept our legal right of these promises in His Word. And that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. So accept your legal right. Accept through faith your legal right and see it at work in your life, in every area of your life. We looked at a couple of different verses that were very, very inclusive. All sufficiency in all things, all need. We looked at a couple of different verses that had a really, really wide definition of what God provides to you. So all sufficiency in all things is provided to you, and it is your legal right, in fact, to receive through Christ. So accept that boldness, receive that favor in your life, in your job, in your relationships, and act it out, expect it, and live it out. Let's be a people that impact the world outside of these walls, the people that we're in interaction with throughout the day. May they be impacted by our lives. May they be impacted by our faith in Him and seeing the promises at work in our lives that overflow out of us, that we have an abundance of joy that we can share with others, that we have an abundance of finances that we can share with others, that we have an abundance of peace that overflows out of us onto the others around us. If they're in a chaotic situation, the peace that you have is so far-reaching that it even flows over onto them. That is God's intention for your life. That is how we as believers are supposed to walk through this world, as a shining beacon that's different, that's impacting the things that are around them. You guys all know this. You take a candle into a dark room, it's not just you that's lit by that candle. It's the whole room, right? We can't help but follow Christ and have His light shine out from us and have it impact the people that we're in contact with, whether we're trying to or not. But if we lead that kind of life, we can be empowered and emboldened to impact people. And that's what we want to be as believers. So as we leave this place this morning, let's leave with that passion in our hearts to be an influence and to be an impact on the people that are around us. So stand this morning. Let me pray for you. Father, I'm thankful for these superstars in faith that are going to impact the lives of people around them. I thank you, Father, that we are beacons for you, that as Christians, we are little Christs in this world, that we act as people here on this earth that are not of this earth, that are not subject to all the things that other people in this world have to deal with, but we are above those situations, that we are in control through you, that we have sufficiency in all things, self-sufficiency in the sufficiency of your Son, Jesus. And we're so thankful for that, God. So I bless these people. Lord, I pray that you would protect them as they go out, keep them safe. May they be an impact on their families and on their friends as they throughout this holiday season, Lord. Let us be beacons of your light. Let us share the truth of the gospel and impact lives for you. We want to see hearts turn to you, Jesus. And may this be a place that sends people out into the world to reach the lost, to reach the hurting, to reach the hungry. Let us be that people for you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So as you leave this morning, I just ask you that you turn to your neighbor and tell them that I receive through faith. Amen. Amen.